What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I am your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who sometimes is just as exhausted as his guardian angel, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Yeah, I think you had said that when we go through ordination as deacons or priests, we might get an extra guardian angel. I sure hope that's the case, because if I just have one, they must be exhausted.
Now, that was from what I understand, that is a small T tradition within the Catholic Church. So says a Monsignor that I know, because another Monsignor, Gerard O'Connor, the rector at St. Mary's mm-hmm. Cathedral here in Portland, he told me that's one of the traditions when a priest is ordained, that they are assigned a second guardian angel. And then he made some kind of remark about my need for a second guardian angel. I think my poor guardian angel may be exhausted at this point. The ideas and things that I sometimes get myself into, I think it can be a lot. Thank God. Thank him every day for your guardian angel Amen. To guard over us. How much does he love us that not only he would send his son to die for our sins, but that from the moment of our conception, he gives us an angel throughout our lives to be with us.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, I spent my career working in the federal government, every time I'd enter into a room on a topic that could very well be super complex, I would ask my guardian angel to help me, to help me, because I didn't have to go in and know whether people were Christian or Catholic or atheist, whatever their position might be of where they are. I could walk into that room with confidence that there are angels around that room, one for each person there at the table, and my guardian angel. And I asked my guardian angel, can you help me in talking with this person through their guardian angel?
I don't think people realize that when we think about our guardian angels, that the way that you and I can see each other, our guardian angels can see each other. And there are all kinds of ways that they are there for us, to advocate for us, to protect us. How many times have you seen those near misses? We've seen it in our own household. A child running, going to fall, and just that near miss off of the edge of a table. Or they turn in such a way that their lives are protected. I believe those are real ways that guardian angels protect us in our life.
Yeah, I have a number of people I've met over my ministry that have tremendous stories. I remember one story of a man and woman driving back from Pendleton, Oregon, and this husband and wife were in their late 60s driving back, and it was evening time, and they got in a wreck. A car had come at them, and they ended up going off the road. And she said, I remember rolling in the car with my husband, and there was something there around us as we were rolling. And she said she believes her guardian angels, hers and her husband's, were working to protect them as they were rolling. And, you know, those are witnessing to something that is supernatural to our way of thinking, but that is who we are. We have a supernatural aspect of our life that we tend to oftentimes dismiss through logic. And it should be just the opposite, that everything we do should be viewed in an expectation of supernatural presence of our angels and of God's presence and the Holy Spirit coming into a moment when we're inviting them in. And they act certainly, I think, to help us, but how much more they act because we invite them in. They're going to be working with our will so that their will and our will can be directed towards God. And I just think of, you know, Jesus in his suffering and the times that he suffered, he was supported by angels. So this is not a mythical component. This is something substantially real in us that we oftentimes don't take stock of like we should as practicing Catholics.
You see, in a room full of contentious people, or maybe even think of the person in your life who is just really difficult for you to be around, they have a guardian angel as well, and you can plead to their guardian angel too. Please help us in that situation. Scott, recently we were driving down the road, and we know how sometimes it can be in certain neighborhoods. We pass by a man who obviously was high out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just in the middle of the sidewalk. And that was my thought. His guardian angel standing there with him through this kind of darkness. And they try to be the light and they try to guide. And yet our free will, we keep messing up. And yet they are still there to be with us, to yearn for us, to pray for us and guide us to that light. And so that leads us to today's show. Coming up, we have a wonderful guest. Father Wolfgang Seitz will be joining us. He is leading some silent retreats at Our Lady of Peace Retreat. He's joining us today to talk a little bit about a consecration to our guardian angels and also about consecration to all the holy angels.
And then after that, we'll continue to explore more how angels operate in their supernatural but subtle ways throughout our life.
So we got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew. Stay with us.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Stay light, people. Don't stop believing.
This is Archbishop Alexander Sample. Please join me in this prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, please download the free Hail Mary Media app or visit us online at materdeiradio.com. We are leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary at Mater Dei Radio.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute. Have you ever heard someone say, "The Catholic Church would be okay if it weren't for all the rituals"? Why do people complain about rituals in the church? They don't complain about the rituals that fill the rest of their daily lives. They shake hands, they sign their names, they put candles on birthday cakes, they give each other flowers, they put on fancy weddings and somber funerals. Those are all rituals. They are symbols. They are simple ways of representing complex ideas. G.K. Chesterton says, "Ritual is a need of the human soul. In fact, it's a need of the human body, like exercise. Destroy your impressive ceremony, and all you get in return is unimpressive ceremony." Want more than a minute? Visit our website at chesterton.org.
One of the many ways you can help Mater Dei Radio is by supporting our Leadership Circle members. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs. Our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. How can you find out more about our Leadership Circle members? Go to our website at materdeiradio.com and click on the Get Involved menu. You'll be learning about a great group of people.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
Well, as we closed out the month of September, we celebrated the archangels Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And in the beginning of October, well, Our guardian angels and all the holy angels in heaven are celebrated. Well, joining us today to help us understand better the way that the holy angels work every single day in our lives, it is Father Wolfgang Seitz from Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. He is joining me today because he will actually be in the Pacific Northwest offering two silent retreats. Talk more about the holy angels. Good morning, Father Wolfgang. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Brenda. Thank you very much.
First, for our listeners, just explain to me a little bit about the mission of Opus Sanctorum Angelorum.
Yeah, Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, it's Latin. It means the work of the holy angels. And it is a movement that has a special devotion to the holy angels. And in order to bring basically our devotion to its full development, we also promote a consecration to the guardian angel and then also to all the holy angels. And this is approved by the Holy See, also the consecrations. And by the way, this is nothing new, consecration of the angels. In fact, it's a long tradition in the church. For example, we just had a feast of the Little Flower, October 1st. She consecrated herself to all the holy angels when she was 9 years old and was just before her Holy Communion. This was at that time in France, in Poland, in the Western countries. It was almost a tradition that children consecrated themselves to their angels, especially when these children are going to a school that was run by nuns. So, for example, Little Flower, she went to a school run by Benedictine nuns. So, and she writes very emphatically in her writings also about how much she appreciated, you know, the help of the guardian angel. And we look in her theology. It's not systematic theology, but it's rather a descriptive way how she understands the missions of the angels in her life. And it's really very profound. Devotion to angels is we entrust ourselves to our guardian angel first, and then if people want to do more, to all the holy angels. And that means we open ourselves more for the influence of the angels. They have a very special mission towards us. They are sent by God to guard, protect, enlighten, strengthen us, etc. The Catechism says, besides, each believer sends an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. And a very beautiful statement in the Catechism is also, from its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by the angel's watchful care and intercession. So from the very beginning of our lives, our conception until our last breath, we're surrounded by angels, not just that they're around us, but they are power that intervene directly in our lives. Every aspect of our life, especially every aspect of our spiritual life, has to do with the angels.
Father Wolfgang, I think that as adults, we look at the images of maybe, you know, Valentine cherubs, or sometimes we tell stories to our children about how Saint Michael cast Satan out of heaven, or even we see the image of the children crossing the bridge with their guardian angel protecting them. But somehow maybe as adults we think that, oh, they do great things or they follow children, but the holy angels maybe not working so much in my life because, well, maybe we tend to think we control what happens in our lives. For adults on a daily basis, how is our guardian angel walking through everything, and how can we keep from thinking that the guardian angel is something for children, but something for all of us every single day?
Well, to say it bluntly, without the angel's help, there is no spiritual life. We can really say that they're radically. And that's simply because of the rule God established that, as Thomas Aquinas basically teaches, I now paraphrase it, or every actual grace comes to us through the ministry of the angels. For example, when he talks about when we fall into sin or are tempted, are the demons always involved? Are they always the one, the bad guys behind it? He says clearly no, because due to our fallen human nature, we are so wounded by original sin, we can commit sin with or without the devil. Of course, the devil often will play a role, but not always. So I can be selfish, impatient with all the angels. But then it goes on when it comes to merit. That means our union with God, our relationship with God, which is supernatural. Then he goes on to say, but man cannot grow in merit without the divine assistance. That means everything that has to do with faith, again, we need God's grace. The Catechism states somewhere, we cannot even say our Father in heaven without first receiving the light and the grace of faith. Man cannot grow in merit without the divine assistance, but this assistance is given to us by the ministry of the angels. And therefore, he concludes, and that sentence is in the Catechism, the angels take part in all our good works. So that means in order to accomplish a good work, that means that is pleasing to God, that has value for eternity, we need here the help of divine grace, which is given to us by the angels. So they're the agents of God's grace. He's the one who is closest to us. Nah? The source is always God. Nah? If you look at the life of the Blessed Mother, even she was enlightened by St. Gabriel, you know, in regards to the incarnation, her vocation, the mystery of the Trinity, etc. So there's a general principle in the spiritual life. Most people don't know it, never heard about it, but that's what the church and tradition believes.
You will have an opportunity here in the Pacific Northwest to listen more and learn more from Father Wolfgang Seitz. He is coming to our Lady of Peace retreat for two options for a silent retreat, October 16th to the 19th, or October 23rd to the 26th. Father Wolfgang, just explain to us a little bit about how a silent retreat works and why silent is important to maybe commune with our guardian angel and hear the word of God.
Right. Silent retreat is, I would say, to make a good retreat, a very good retreat, I recommend to everybody to make a silent retreat. What does retreat mean? Retreat means withdrawal. That means we withdraw from our activities, from our environments, from our dealings with the world for a couple of days to be alone with God in prayer. So the ultimate goal is to grow into deeper union with God. Or Pope Benedict, he once defined a good retreat in a very powerful way. He said, basically, it's a strong experience of God. And then it's awakened by listening to the word of God. And then also this listening. And once we have heard it, there's now the attitude of the Blessed Mother. Welcome God's word in our personal life. And here, of course, is the action of the Holy Spirit and our guardian angels. And then he points out what is essentially said. There must be a climate of silence and prayer. And then also there's a spiritual guide there. And he speaks then again about there needs to be a retreat. A good retreat is characterized by a climate of complete and profound silence, which favors basically the personal encounter with God and the contemplation of the face of Christ. So we can have a retreat where we can talk and we hear good talks maybe. But in order that, the message of God can sink in, we need to have the attitude of Our Lady, disposition of Our Lady. And Our Lady's fundamental disposition was silence. Because she was silent, that means free of the noise of the world, now the word of God could fully shine into her heart. She could comprehend it. And then with her own free will and her love, she could say yes to God. Fiat. And what was the result? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And basically, that's also the dynamic of a retreat when we make it. It's always to come to this silence. That's the greatest challenge. And then we are really listening. We are really able to listen. And then in a very profound way, we experience really God's presence and then also can renew our lives and more commit our life being more converted in our lives.
Again, that opportunity for you to be converted in your lives in this silent retreat is coming up October 16th and the 19th. And you can also have the option to attend October 23rd to the 26th at Our Lady of Peace Retreat in Beaverton. Father Wolfgang, thank you so much for being with us today. We are blessed to have you on the Morning Blend, and we look forward to seeing you in October. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Brenda. And God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. And if you do want to have more information on these retreats, I will be sure to add a link that'll get you right to Our Lady of Peace retreat that will also give you more information on Opus Angelorum retreats. And you'll find that link on the podcast of today's interview at materdeiradio.com and on the Hail Mary Media app. Scott, I love on the Feast of the Holy Angels, we talk about the choir of angels, nine of them. This week, we celebrated two of those, the Feast of the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, and then also the Feast of the Guardian Angels. The Church recognizes the beauty and the role that angels play in our lives. Saints have talked about them, and we are helped every single day by our guardian angels.
Right. And this realization that we come to know more about the truth of our eternal salvation, to be eternally before the Lord, before God, praising the Father, we're doing that in unison with, in community of the angels. So the angels that we can't see as they walk with us through life, gather. I just think of when we go to Mass, they gather at the Mass, and how they must just revel in the love and beauty that they are to one another, representing God's love to this human being and these human beings that are gathered. And so those are things that we, again, don't necessarily think of because we don't see them. And I think the understanding that our eyes and our ears can be deceiving. And this is, Christ spoke about this oftentimes when the disciples were asking, why do you speak in parables? And he says, because they don't have the eyes or the ears to understand truth and that I'm presenting. So how often we are those, like in the early days of the church, who are people who haven't yet realized the fullness of a Mass, the fullness of attending Mass, the fullness of the angels that are around us. And when we act in ways that are affecting the dignity of another person, if we could see the angel next to them, how we would stop in our tracks and reverse from maybe lashing out in anger, maybe lashing out with words that hurt the other person, because we recognize you are God's creation. Mm-hmm. And if I could see the angel next to you, I would have a greater appreciation. Well, we don't get to see that, but we need to know that because Christ says that. And if we're going to follow as Christ has invited us to follow, we have to accept that, all of that, that angels are real and they are with us.
Absolutely. Scott, it was just last week that we were talking about being a lifelong learner. Well, the saints talked about the angels too. And in fact, it was St. Thomas Aquinas that said that angels act as our spiritual teachers. I never think about learning from my guardian angels. I always put my guardian angel in that role of protector. Like the my guardian angel is going to keep me from getting into trouble in a certain way, or redirecting me so that way I don't bump my head or don't stub my toe or something like that. I even think it was St. Padre Pio who he would be tormented by demons in his sleep, and he'd get up and he'd be kind of a curmudgeon at his guardian angels. Why weren't you there protecting me? We just think of our guardian angels in this role that, oh, they just keep me from, you know, being hurt. But when you realize the way that St. Thomas Aquinas explained them, they're our spiritual teachers. They have a lot to teach us if we allow ourselves to broaden the role that they have in our lives beyond just, oh, I ran into the door, guardian angel, where were you? No, they are far more important.
Yeah, and how just to that point, any one of us, including someone who is a saint like St. Padre Pio, to that story is maybe in some ways embellished, maybe it's accurate, but regardless, it's something of our faith that we talk about. But for him to say that at that moment in his tiredness, he's speaking pridefully, like, you're my guardian angel, do your job,
right.
is a prideful statement. Like in that case, it objectifies the angel. And in inadvertent way, that's certainly Padre Pio would not be objectifying the angel as being your intent, your job is to guard me. But we can think that way, and the devil tries to twist at any opportunity our understanding of God's beauty. And so God permits everything, including demonic attack. So as he's getting attacked, you know, in his defense, he would be the one to tell us God is allowing this for a purpose.
No doubt.
And your guardian angel is following God's will, as you should, and together you have an ability to overcome this.
Absolutely. And you think about those times of temptation or when you are feeling drawn towards sin, call on your guardian angel to help fortify you.
Amen.
Because they will be there for you in those times as well. Scott, before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the many blessings you give us, but particularly for our guardian angels. Help us to better understand our relationship with them and help us to be docile to their guidance, for they have a will and an understanding of you that is complete. And so we depend upon them in this life that we walk day to day. So help us to be open to that today and help us to always be thankful for their presence and your presence in our life. So we ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.